Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 18th of August. Just a couple reminders. We are going to, after this show, do a drawing. So if you want to sign up for Facebook, it's the Kathleen Dunn Show. We have two pairs of Irish tickets. And as you could tell from this last hour's show, it's going to be a wonderful. You can just go listen to Mick for the whole time, right? He was so good. So we're going to do that. But if you're not, even if you already signed up, you need to do this just for this event, and then we'll just draw. And some of you will be able to go. So that should be good. One more announcement is that tomorrow at 9 o'clock, Jonathan Alter will be with us, another very well-spoken, smart guy who has written a book about President Obama, The Promise. And we've already talked to him about that. So we'll be looking at all that's going on in the world with Jonathan Alter, who will join us in studio tomorrow at 9 o'clock. This hour of the program, some time ago, Nicholas Kristof, who always draws our attentions to issues that we don't know enough about, and God bless him for doing that, had an interesting article sparking a savings revolution that appeared in the New York Times at the end of last year. And he talks about saving and micro-saving, and it starts this column saying, there's an old saying about poverty, give me a fish and I'll eat for a day, give me a fishing rod and I'll eat for a lifetime. There are many variations in that theme. These days, there's evidence that one of the most effective tools to fight global poverty may be neither a fishing rod nor a gun, but a savings account. What we need is a savings revolution. This hour of the program, we're going to be talking about such a revolution. It's starting on a small level, but our guest says that it is growing. Jenny Benhart is Development Communications Manager of the World Council of Credit Unions, and we're going to be talking about a Madison-based microfinancing program that gives people the opportunity to promote savings before credit as a means to overcoming poverty. They've been doing a great deal of work in Mexico's Veracruz state, and you'll hear about some of the work that has been done here. People have access to credit more than a simple savings account, which is hard to believe, but it's very hard to get savings in some of these extremely remote parts of third world nations. So we'll be talking about this hour with Jenny and welcoming your phone calls. As always, our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655 for you to join our conversation. Jenny, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah. We got a little bit of an echo. Are you on a regular phone?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Is this better?
Yeah, that's a little bit better.
Okay.
So, you know, this is something you don't even think about, is that people don't have access to savings account. And if you just have cash around, be you in the mountains of Mexico or wherever, you would probably tend to just spend this because it's so hard to establish savings.
Right. And all of the participants in our program, most of them earn, you know, only about $4 a day, and they're seasonal workers. So it's really hard for them to smooth out their income over the year when they only have work about, you know, half of the year.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about the origins of MatchSavings.org. It is Madison-based. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, it's a program of the World Council of Credit Unions, and we're based right here in Madison, Wisconsin. World Council of Credit Unions, just a little bit of background, is a trade association and development agency for credit unions and financial cooperatives worldwide. So MatchSavings.org is actually a program of the World Council of Credit Unions. So the program itself is about giving the working poor their first chance to open a savings account, helping them set savings goals, and then providing an incentive or a match to get started. We're currently working with credit unions in rural Mexico, like you'd mentioned, to offer six-month matched savings accounts for housing, for microbusiness, or for education. So the savers, the participants in the program, as we call them, make a commitment to deposit a set amount of money, which is about $15 a month, when the credit union field officer, someone from the credit union, visits their community. And then if they complete the savings requirement, which totals out to about $90, they receive a one-to-one match. And that's where our website comes in. That's where the matchsavings.org comes in. So their match comes from funds that we receive through the website, where you'll find a whole host of stories about people saving to cover their basic needs, like a roof for their home, fertilizer for their fields, or a school uniform so their child can go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then here people can choose to make a tax-deductible match for one of the three savings goals that I mentioned.
Why is it easier to get credit in some of these areas than it is to establish a bank account and a savings account?
That's a good question. Not all financial institutions are actually authorized to take in savings. We work with credit unions that take in savings and also distribute loans. So by that virtue, we're able to go out into these communities and offer them savings accounts where they might not have that access.
The Nicholas Kristof column talked about the world's poorest families spending about 20% of their incomes on alcohol, cigarettes, prostitution, soft drinks, and extravagant festivals. Can you comment on that and what difference a savings account may be to expenditure of money?
Sure. So a lot of the people that I talk to when we go into these communities and visit them and, you know, ask them, have they saved before, or, you know, what has motivated them about participating in this program to start saving? You know, a lot of them say, we try to save in our house, but, you know, when the money is there, there's that temptation to spend it. So the nice thing about this program is that we're giving them access to a savings account to put their money sort of out of sight and out of mind, and they're saving it for a purpose. And it's not just for buying a TV or going on a vacation or something like that, but it's for an asset-building purpose, for something that's going to help them build their personal wealth. So while that, you know, the frivolous expenses might still be there, they've got that savings account to set aside money for something that's going to help them grow down the road.
I believe that maybe you wrote this article. In one of the articles, there was a family spending $1.75 a day for a gallon of soda, which really, of course, can add up in a very short period of time. So They started saving and realized that maybe it wasn't a good idea to spend that amount of money when you don't have very much money at all on soda. And it made just that simple thing made a very large difference in their lives.
Right, and the neat thing, too, about having the credit union staff person go out into their community once a month is that they know when the field officer is going to be visiting them. They know that on the 15th of every month, I'm going to be making a deposit in my account. So, you know, maybe if the person was visiting their community once a week, they might not have that money, again, because they're not sure if they're going to have work from day to day. But if they know in 4 weeks they have that amount of money to save, they can save a little bit as they work, and I've got to deposit, you know, $15 or whatever that amount is, when the field officer comes, they have that in their mind and they've planned that out, and it's a scheduled deposit for them.
So these field officers go to the communities. I would imagine that it's not very easy to get to some of these places, is it?
No, not at all. I come back with a pretty sore back, actually.
Oh, you've done this.
So
you've
when
gone.
We go out, we visit the credit union branch offices, which are usually located in a town, and all of the towns that we serve are have populations of 15,000 or less. So they're fairly small communities. The communities that we actually travel out into from the branch office have much less people than that. Sometimes maybe only about, you know, 300 people, maybe up to 1,000. So we usually hop in a truck ourselves and go to these communities, but the field officers actually get on motorcycles for the most part because it's much easier to navigate the roads. We're in a mountainous region of Veracruz State, so the roads that we travel are winding roads, no guardrails, rocks, really bumpy, sometimes flooded. Sometimes we have to turn back because there's an avalanche and we can't get through. And it takes us, you know, up to an hour and a half sometimes to get to some of the communities, which is pretty telling when you wonder why people don't have access to finance. You know, it would take them an entire day to travel to the nearest financial institution and probably more than a day's worth of wages to get there. So there isn't a whole lot of incentive for people to even open a savings account if it means they've got to go there themselves to do it. So it's really a great service that the credit unions are providing to these communities.
So how often do you do this? Do you make these journeys?
With the Match Savings Program, we try to go down. The savings period is 6 months. So one of us tries to go down at the beginning just to check in and make sure things are starting off okay. We usually like to check in about halfway through to talk with some of the savers, make sure they understand the program, and see if they have any questions. And then at the end of the program, when the matches are distributed, I was just down there in April with the last group. The matches are actually distributed in goods rather than cash. So I was there and took a couple videos that we have posted on YouTube when we delivered the goods. So it would be like roofing materials or cement blocks, inventory for somebody's small shop in the community, things like that.
Mm-hmm. You must be dumbfounded by how a relatively small amount of money can do such huge things for families and for communities.
Yeah, you know, it's really encouraging, too, because, you know, I've grown up all my life being a saver. I mean, I remember as a little kid going into, you know, the local bank and making my deposit from whatever it was, might have been a paper route or something like that. But, you know, here these people never even had learned how to save from an early age. They never really even knew what a savings account was, is what they told me. And the great thing about this program is that the match that's provided is giving people an incentive to get started. And the fact that the credit union is visiting them once a month gives them the opportunity to save up their money each month and to make that deposit. And then once they finish the program, while they can't participate again, they're members of a credit union. And that credit union continues to visit them every month. They can continue to make deposits. They can take out small loans. They have access to insurance. So it's really, it's the start of something much greater for them. And it starts with savings rather than starting with micro-lending.
So how many of the people are able to successfully save?
After the program?
Yes. When they start, how many are able to be successful at the end of 6 months?
So we've actually got a pretty high success rate. In the first round of the program, we started with just 120 savers. And two people had dropped out of the program because they had family emergencies and couldn't make the deposits. If a saver has an emergency come up, they can delay their deposit for a month as long as they communicate it with the credit union. You know, we're aware that emergencies come up, and that's the beauty of having savings is that you can use that to help pay for emergencies. But we try to help the savers stick to their goal and reach that end of the 6 months, and we've had a really high success rate with that. And also after the program, too, where savers continue saving with the credit union without that match.
And, Jenny, is it operating in other countries or just Mexico right now?
So WOCU has development programs in countries in Asia, Latin America, and Africa right now. But the match savings program itself is just in Mexico and through two credit unions that we work with there.
But you plan to expand?
We're hoping to expand, right. It depends on a few different things. We're hoping it depends on the matches that we take into the website. So the matches that we take in dictate how many people we can help through the program. We don't actually match matcher to saver, but we let matchers choose which savings objective they'd like to support. And then once we have those funds in, that tells us how many people we can reach out to. And then we develop the program where we implement match savings through our existing development projects so that we have support already on the ground and we've got that rapport with the credit unions there.
Hmm. And tell me what it's like when you go to one of these small towns. People live quite differently. First, they're fairly remote areas and you're dealing with a different language here and having to know a different language pretty well, I would think, to be able to communicate. Do you have to have extensive conversations about saving and economic kinds of conversations? Do you have to have special sensitivities to the culture you're entering? And if so, what are those?
So the greatest thing about working with credit unions is that they're local institutions. So when we go to visit the projects, we're traveling with people who are from those communities.
Oh.
And some of the communities we visit actually don't even speak Spanish. They're so remote and so far removed that they still speak their indigenous language. One of the credit unions that we work with has several field officers who are from those communities and actually perform the financial transactions and explain the products and services of the credit union in the indigenous language of the people of that community. So that's a pretty neat thing. And so when I go to visit, you know, the credit union is there to talk about what services they provide. We've got our WOKU staff on the ground who explain the support from there. And then I have the great job of just being able to talk to the savers and ask them, you know, how it's going. They invite, you know, us into their homes to see what kind of improvements they're planning to make or what kind of improvements they have made. And just talking to them in general about what their hopes down the road are.
We're welcoming phone calls for Jenny, and we'll take them in a moment. Jenny Bernhardt is our guest, Development Communications Manager for the World Council of Credit Unions. And we're talking about this micro savings program, giving people the opportunity to promote savings before credit as a means to overcome poverty. Getting credit, as you know, is pretty dangerous for all of us. And the credit industry from previous shows has preyed upon people who are poor in terms of these payday lending stores and running to own furniture, et cetera, with interest rates. So this is an interesting way to go, and we're talking about the intricacies of it and how you can become involved, too. It's matchsavings.org if you want to look at their website as we carry on our conversation. Here's the phone number for you to be with us, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, and we go to Ken from Milton first. Hi, Ken.
Hello. I was really shocked by the term extravagant festivals. Was one of the ways the money is spent. The excess money is spent, and that translates to me. There goes the neighborhood. I mean, it's a value judgment when you say extravagant festivals.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't. I was quoting Nicholas Kristof's column on that. Where he says research suggests the world's poorest family, the men in those families, spend 20% of their incomes on alcohol, cigarettes, prostitution, soft drinks, and extravagant festivals. Good point. I don't know what he means by extravagant festivals there, or if the comment was out of line. Do you want to comment, Jenny?
So the only thing I can say there is, culturally, you know, in Mexico, it's really popular to have parties like quinceañeras when the girls turn 15, or when somebody graduates from school. The family throws them a party, and culturally that's just expected and accepted there. So he may have maybe been a little overboard in saying extravagant festivals, because that kind of brings to mind something, you know, different in our mind. But it's cultural, and it's relative to their community.
Let's talk more about how the matchers are matched with the savers. People, you say, are interested in matching for certain kinds of projects. How does this work?
How are the matchers
matched with the savers? Yeah.
Sure. So, like I mentioned, we don't actually connect matchers directly with savers. One, the tracking that would involve would incur additional operational expenses that we prefer to put towards the matches. And then, two, we don't actually begin the next group of savers, like I mentioned, until we collect sufficient funds through the website. So we want to ensure that the savers in the program will have that match in the end. Savers, you know, like I mentioned, are people who have never before had a savings account in a formal financial
right.
institution, which isn't generally hard to find in the remote areas that we're serving. So that's how we select the savers in the program. We have a basic selection tool. First and foremost, they should never have saved in a financial institution. They've never had access to a savings account. This is their first opportunity to save. And then the selection tool is just basically a series of questions asking, you know, things like, do you have electricity in your home? How many school-age kids do you have? Do you receive any government help? It just helps us gauge what their economic need is.
Mm-hmm. And then the matchers are giving money, not to an individual person, I didn't mean to imply that, but they're mm-hmm. giving to the kind of project they would like to support?
Correct, yep. So when you go to the website, you notice on the right-hand side, there's a drop-down box where you can give a donation of any amount. $15 a month is what people are saving. $90 will match someone's entire savings over that 6 months. So $90 supports one individual saver. And then you can choose to support someone for microbusiness, who's saving for microbusiness, not someone, I'm sorry, but support a goal for microbusiness, for education, or for housing. And you can do any one of the combinations there.
Mm-hmm. And how are people finding out about match savings? How are you getting the matchers together?
It's always a challenge. We've really tried to amp up our communications online. We started a Facebook page. We're on Twitter. We've got a blog on our website. We've got videos from our visits on YouTube. We've got photos from our visits on Flickr. Just trying to network with people within the credit union world, too, people who know us already, and trying to spread the word from our inner circle out to those that might be interested.
I would like to hear more, because I'm sure that you have some incredibly inspirational stories of people who have been helped, how they've been helped, and how their lives have been deeply enriched by this program. What have you seen?
We've seen so much. It's so hard, too, when people ask for stories. I've got so many people that I've been so lucky to be invited in their homes and to hear about their families and their hopes for the future. One community that struck me on this last visit, it took us an hour and a half to get there by truck. We actually drove through a cloud to get to the community. It was way up high in the mountains. We met this group of about 12 people. Most of them were women in the group. And I started talking to the women, and unrelated to match savings, they were talking about how a teacher was visiting their community a few days a week, and they were starting to finish their primary school education and secondary school education, which is something that they weren't able to do when they were younger. Mm-hmm. And when I asked them, well, what do you hope to do with your education, when you finish the primary school, when you finish secondary school? And they said, we want to be able to help our kids with their schooling. And that's such a big theme throughout all the people we talk to in match savings is, why is this important to you? Why is it important to save? And it's important beyond the match that they're getting. It's important beyond their housing goal or their micro-business goal. They're really saving to improve the futures of their kids. One community we went to, a different community, which we actually hiked 2 hours to get to.
Oh, my gosh.
They don't have any road access. So we hiked up a mountain on a rocky trail, passing mules and people coming down to the to the community. Hiked up 2 hours, got to this community, and the leader of the group there had told us that they had asked the credit union if they could start a savings group for their kids because they had never had the opportunity to save when they were young. So the kids aren't depositing very much when the field officer visits once a month, but they got 70 kids to sign up for the program.
Ooh.
And this is all just because somebody offered these people a savings account. It's just giving them that option.
Well, it certainly says something about you, too, that you're willing to hike to hike 2 hours in the mountains and go to these very remote locations. You're looking at a certain kind of person who makes this program possible, aren't you?
Oh, I love it, but I'm not doing it once a month either. So it's
right.
Really, it's the credit really goes to the credit unions who and their staff who get out, and go into these communities every day. They're on a motorcycle or they're walking to these communities, and they're serving these people and helping them move forward.
Mm-hmm. Is this a new program of the World Council of Credit Unions?
Match Savings, we started in October of 08, and we started the program because we had seen, through our other development programs that the poor can and they do save, but they they often don't have a safe place to keep their money. Mm. They don't always feel comfortable approaching a financial institution. At the same time, we were seeing online microlending or investing sites like Kiva or eBay's Microplace were successfully raising funds to deliver microcredit to the poor, to deliver small loans to the poor. So we thought, you know, why couldn't we do the same thing with savings and give people the opportunity to grow out of poverty rather than take the chance on a debt they might not be able to afford? So this program is one way to bring that opportunity to them, not only to open a savings account, but to set a savings goal to build their personal assets first before taking on debt. Not to say that credit is always a bad thing, but we're talking about building savings first and having that padding before jumping forward with a loan. And then also with the match part, you know, knowing they have support, they have the mattress support along the way. And then the great thing is once they complete the program, as credit union members, they have access to a whole host of financial products that the credit union offers.
And when you talk about having a safe place for money, how is the money transferred? Do they give you money in cash and then it goes into a bank somewhere and they get statements? Or
so when the credit union field officer visits their community, one of the neat things that WOCU is doing down in Mexico is they're equipping the credit unions with PDAs, with handheld, you know, cell phones, to go into the communities, and they'll take the deposit from 200 pesos from the member, from the saver. They record that deposit in this PDA. They have a portable printer. They print out a receipt for the saver, give the saver the receipt, record the transaction in their saving passbook, which we may remember from, you know, we don't really have
sure.
them anymore.
But I remember those.
Record them in the savings passbook, so the saver has a record in their passbook, has a record in the receipt form. The field officer then goes back to the credit union. That information is already entered into the system through the phone. And then at the end of the 6 months, we transfer the match funds to the credit union once we have a record of how many people have completed their savings requirement. That money is put into the savers' accounts, and then the credit union uses that money to buy the materials that the saver has requested.
And can you elect just to keep saving for a while longer unless you're in tremendous need at that moment?
At the end of the 6 months, the savers ahead of time choose which materials they'd like to purchase once that 6 months is up. So the credit union purchases those materials. The savers are required to keep $30 in their savings account, and then they continue to save, you know, each month that the field officer visits. Some people choose to keep the materials that they're given until they can accumulate enough savings to, so let's say they receive cement blocks. They might continue saving so that they have enough money to buy cement to actually put those blocks up. But for the most part, people elect to get their goods as soon as the program is finished.
And how do you, when you were initially speaking with people, because we have this problem with our children and with ourselves, we're not a country that saves very much. We keep getting worse and worse in this regard. How do you convince people to think about 6 months from now? Because we tend to think about now.
Right. I think that's universal. you know, the advantage of having the credit union field officer visit once a month is that they're also there to remind them what their savings goals are, to kind of help keep them on track. In the first phase of the program, in some communities, the field officer actually brought paper and had them draw out their situation now and where they hope to be in the future. So if I was saving for housing, I'd draw my house now and then what I would hope my house to be at the end of the program. So just as kind of a visual representation to keep me on track of where I want to be. And then when we visit the communities too, where, you know, we talk about the program and ask them what they understand the program to be, you know, do you remember what your goals are? You know, are you still saving for those same goals? Sometimes people change their goals as their needs change throughout the course of the program, and they can do that if they communicate that with the credit union. But for the most part, people stick with what they've started with.
We're welcoming phone calls. If you'd like to join our conversation, please feel free to do so. Jenny Bernhardt is our guest. She's Development Communications Manager for the World Council of Credit Unions. And we're talking about savings and this matchsavings.org program. You can look at more information if you'd like on the web to find out how people in Mexico is where this is taking place right now. But it sounds like the kind of program that could spread as microlending has all over the world. She has traveled to very remote parts of Mexico where people are encouraged to save, and then matchers, and I would imagine they're in the process of trying to find more of those people, don't get matched with a specific person, but with a goal, so that if you would like to help with education or housing or small businesses, any of those, money is matched, and people are saved for a six-month period of time, and then there is more money available, and eventually maybe more money for credit. But this whole idea of saving being the way to go with trying to lift people up from poverty in poor parts of the world, what do you think of this idea, and why is it so hard for us to save as well? Or specific questions, maybe you want to get involved in the program, feel free to join our conversation. Here's our number and our email address. The number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. What's happening is this is allowing poor people to have access to a bank account. And if you look at information about this, you find that most of the world's poor have no access to a bank account. And you know what it's like. If you have cash that's sitting around, you tend to spend that cash. And sometimes you spend it on things that may not be very important, but you got the cash, and so you spend the money, right? 800-486-8655. How many people do you have involved right now, if you know the answer to this, Jenny, mm-hmm. who are matchers?
We've got about 200 matchers, I would say, from throughout the world. And I just checked this morning to see how many were from Wisconsin, and we've got about just 30 of those from Wisconsin.
Mm.
So actually quite a big number. But of course, you know, you start where you're at, and then you grow from there.
Right. And what's in it for people who are matchers? Why would they get involved?
So for me personally, and I'm a matcher in the program too, is, you know, I feel like so many people have helped me throughout my life to save and to, you know, save for education, to get a university education. And now that I'm actually in a career and making money, I feel like this is my opportunity to give people that same chance. And the great thing is that it's not just, I don't like to call it a donation. I really call it a match, because it's giving somebody a hand to get started.
Right.
You know, it's not just I give a donation and it stops there. But, you know, like I said, you give them an opportunity to open a savings account. You give them that incentive to get started, and they're part of a financial institution. They have access to a full range of financial services that so many of us take for granted.
Let's go to some phone calls. Madonna from West Salem. Hi, Madonna.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm calling because just listening to the program is uplifting this morning. I think that your visitor is just an amazing person to do the things that she's done, as you have said. But I'd also like to say that I listen to this and what the people have to do for their goals, and to keep reminding them of their goals. And that just encourages me to think about all of the money that has to go into these poverty-stricken nations, or that we provide for them through the United States. And how can they determine, their leaders and their military generals decide where money goes, when they may not have the same apparatus, the same kind of apparatus to help him? Maybe that's where all the greed and the money gets transferred into the wrong hands.
Jenny?
So thinking about funds that come in through governments and how those can help their people, you know, it wouldn't be fair for me not to say that BOKU gets a lot of their funding from the U.S. government to go into other countries, and actually our big project in Mexico is funded by the Mexican government. So there are really good things happening with government funding. And the program that we, the bigger program that we have going on in Mexico that we have Match Savings operating through, we're working with 50 credit unions throughout the country in 22 states to help credit unions bring financial services into these rural and really remote marginalized communities, similar, exactly the same as the Match Savings communities that I've talked about. So there are good initiatives happening with the government, and the work that WOCU does is one, you know, really good representation of that too. The advantage of Match Savings is that, you know, when you donate to the program, you know where that money is going. Your match is going directly to people who are saving for housing, for microbusiness, for education.
And thanks for the call. Here are a couple questions that are along the same lines, so I'll put them together. I'm wondering, are there programs like this in the U.S.? Does your guest program serve the local communities in our own country? And then another one, is there a program for southwestern Wisconsin? Crawford County is down and out.
You know, I've had this question a lot of times, and I know that there are programs through local financial institutions. Some credit unions have programs that offer individual development accounts, which are called IDAs. And usually those accounts are for similar purposes, for small business startups, for housing, or for education. I'm not sure exactly which programs there are in Wisconsin specifically. Throughout the United States, I'm aware of a few in some states that have been successful. They kind of come and go, too. Sometimes governments support a program like this for a short time, or a nonprofit may put in some funding to help a particular demographic in a community. I'm not aware of specific local programs that we've got right now in the state, but I know that there are some out there. So I would encourage you to look for or search for IDAs, or individual development accounts, and then also to approach your local credit union and see what kinds of help they can offer.
Stella in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Stella.
Hi.
Hi.
My first, I want to just express my enthusiasm and excitement over the brilliance of this program. I think it's absolutely wonderful. And I had two ideas came to mind immediately for publicizing it and getting the word out. I've been a lifelong credit union member. And my husband and I are members of two credit unions, and we receive newsletters from each credit union at least every couple months, if not once a month, I forget. And I would love to read articles about this program in our credit union's newsletters, which are Dane County Credit Union and Pioneer Credit Union. In Wisconsin here, and I would really encourage you to approach all credit unions in the state, if not elsewhere, to promote this program in their newsletters through having articles and explanations of it. And another idea for getting the word out is on Hulu.com, H-U-L-U.com. People can watch television programs and movies, and I have seen ads for Kiva on there, and there are a number of nonprofit organizations that have ads on there, and I don't know whether they are free public service ads, free to the nonprofit organization, or if they're paid for, but if they're free, it would be a great I don't know if you have any advertising budget or not, but if they're free, it would certainly be a great way to get word out to a very wide
good suggestions. Viewership. Yeah, good suggestions, Stella. Jenny?
Yeah, those are great suggestions. We've actually worked with some state leagues, state credit union leagues, to get articles placed in credit union publications. I just wrote a couple of them in the past few months, for one for an individual credit union out in California, and then for the New York State League just last month, too. So we do get some requests coming in once in a while, but I think it's a great idea to talk to the credit unions in Wisconsin, too, and let them know that this is a Wisconsin-based program. So thanks for that suggestion. And Hulu I had not thought of, so that is a really great idea. We'll look into that. Thank you.
We'll take more phone calls in a moment. Jenny Bernhardt, our guest this hour, Development Communications Manager, World Council of Credit Unions, and we're discussing the MatchSavings.org program, which is part of a movement to fight global poverty, really what may be most important, extremely important to people who are poor, a savings account. And so we're talking about a savings revolution. It's starting, actually it's Madison-based program right now, and it is doing work in some very remote and poor communities in Mexico. Here's our number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, email address talk@WPR.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We welcome more phone calls for Jenny, 800-486-8655. Karen is next from Wautoma. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I'm really excited about the program. It sounds wonderful, but I'm a logistical person, and I always wonder how all this is really happening. In the Mexico community, how do they make their living?
So by and large, most of our savers are agricultural workers. Some own their own lands, and most of them work on other people's lands. Generally, the family structure is that the woman, the wife, stays at home and cares for the family, cares for the home. Sometimes she'll have a small shop that she runs out of the house. Sometimes she'll maybe grow a few chickens or raise a pig and sell that for profit, or do washing in the community. But by and large, the husband is the one making the money for the family. So, like I mentioned before, you know, farming work is seasonal work. So when there isn't work in the community, the husband has to move out of the town and find work in a larger city or elsewhere. So it's an interesting family structure that develops, you know, when the husband has to leave for sometimes months at a time, sometimes for a year at a time if they're going far away, and then sends money back, hopefully once a month, to their family. And I asked the women who were, you know, left behind, and the ones who were saving in the program, they were saving the money they got from their husbands, you know, what some of the difficulties they had were. And they said, you know, they don't always know what kind of money they're going to get from their husbands every month, because it depends on what kind of work he can find. And a lot of them get some government assistance, which is only about $70 every 2 months for, you know, food stuff or normal daily needs that they would need for their families. So, you know, they're really struggling, too, on their end to make ends meet. So it's a daily struggle for them. But most of the work in the communities is in agricultural work and then small shops in town.
So you provide the way for them to save rather than having to go so far to a town and go to a bank or something, or maybe it's not even available there?
Exactly, yep. So these communities don't have any financial institutions. They're really small. They're remote communities. The only access they would have would be if somebody traveled there to offer them a loan, which is generally why they have more access to a loan than savings. They might have a predatory lender travel to their community and say, you know, I'll give you a loan, but they would charge 200% interest on the loan. But in order to offer a savings account, you have to have some type of regulation in place at the institution.
I'm sure illiteracy is a problem, too. What have you done to overcome institutions of that?
I didn't catch that question.
Illiteracy.
Financial literacy?
Well, if a person is illiterate, you know, they can't write, and how do you identify them?
So one of the neat things about the big development project that we've got in Mexico, that WOCU has in Mexico, is we've developed a flip chart, actually, of photos, of kind of drawings of how the financial products and services work through the credit union. So when the field officer comes to the community, they roll up this flip chart, take it with them, and they flip through this kind of pictorial display of how the products and services work. So even if the person can't read and write, they've got the pictures to look at, and then in the communities where they don't speak Spanish, the field officers generally speak the indigenous language to explain it to them.
And they can write their own name, that kind of thing?
Not everybody can. So when they're signing documents, they sign it with a fingerprint.
Okay, that was what I wondered. Mm-hmm. Well, I think you have a wonderful program, and thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks, right. Karen. So there are predatory lenders who go to the great expense of climbing mountains and going hours into remote areas to give people loans with big interest? That's hard to imagine. It happens, huh?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, and it may not be in the form of just an individual predatory lender coming, but it could be somebody who, you know, comes and picks up, you know, the crops from the community. Maybe they're forwarding money on to the people that the farmers that they're picking up money or picking up the crops from. So they're providing a loan with addition to the transportation service. You know, and by predatory, you know, it may be like 100% loan, for example, or up to 200% or sometimes even more.
Let's go next. Thanks, Karen, for the call. Amy in Milwaukee. Hi, Amy.
Hi. I am so impressed with this program, and it's just so thoughtful and how well thought out it is. And one thing that I wondered about when you were talking about the people who collect the pesos and then they issue the receipt, is there any concern of robbery that if they travel back down these, you know, remote roads that there will be groups that will become aware that this money is being transported back and forth? I just wonder if how well known this is among the people, and if you're worried at all about thieves.
Yeah, that's a good question. That is something that we're working on, actually. There haven't been, I think there have been a handful of times that there have been robberies. One important thing to mention is that the savers' deposits are protected because the institutions we work with are regulated. So there is a protection on the savers' deposits. But we're working on ways. WOCU is working with the credit union to also put POS, point-of-sale devices, in small businesses in some of these communities so that the field officer can drop off the money at the small business, you know, indicate that a transaction is made through the POS, and then leave without having the money in their pocket. So we're trying to find ways to make it safer for them. The other thing, too, is that being local institutions and being trusted members or trusted, you know, trusted local business within the community that they travel to, is that the people watch out for them, too. But, yeah, okay. We are working on finding ways to make that a bit safer for them.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm so impressed with this. I'll go online and see about matching one of the savers. That's really a cool program.
Thank you so much.
You know, sure. Thanks, Amy. You're just the kind of listener we're looking for today,
yeah.
Right? That's for sure. Who thought of this idea?
Well, the idea came up a couple years ago, and like I said, it was, you know, discussing our experience through our development projects and seeing that, you know, the poor can save and they do save, but they don't always have that opportunity. And then looking at the success of Kiva, Kiva.org and MicroPlace, which do more of the micro lending or investing, you know, we thought, like I said, why not do it with savings? So there was a team of us that actually kind of worked together to develop the program and to make it what it is.
Hmm. And Kiva is very successful. I'm familiar with Kiva. It is amazing what people can do with a small amount of money, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
The Christoph article that I mentioned at the beginning of the show indicated that this really is the way to go, that savings for poor people really will lift them eventually out of poverty. Would you agree that a movement to help lift people from poverty will more and more go to a savings route?
You know, I think you need a mix of both worlds. Microfinance is often misunderstood as being just microcredit, but it's actually a whole host of micro or really small products. So it includes micro savings, it includes micro insurance or payment options, payment services, remittances, things like that. So I think you really need a comprehensive program, because our philosophy is that you start with savings first. You know, you build that foundation, and from there you work forward. I think most of us would agree that we probably wouldn't be where we're at. We wouldn't have our houses. We wouldn't have our cars. We may not have our careers without having a loan. So loans are not bad, but there's a time, you know, there's a time and a place where you're at in your life where that makes most sense. So I think everything working together is what we need, not just one or the other.
Mm-hmm. So when was your last trip to Mexico?
We were down there last month.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, yep. We visited about, I think it was 7 communities in 5 days, so it was a whirlwind tour, but it was great. It was really great, and we met a lot of new savers. We visited some of the savers that received their matches in April just to check in and see what they had done. One woman had put in a cement floor in her home where she had had a dirt floor the last time we were there.
Yes.
So it was nice to see the progress, and it was nice to meet some of the newspapers too.
I'm sure. And what about language? Do you speak Spanish, or do you have to learn a certain different kind of dialect?
I've learned as I've gone along. I studied Spanish in university, but have never lived in a Spanish-speaking country. So I practice every time I go to Mexico. So it's enough to do an interview, and then we have great staff, really patient staff that work on the ground there too. So what I don't understand, I just keep repeating or ask them to repeat and learn from there. So the places that we visit that speak indigenous languages, we've got the credit union staff to translate into Spanish for us.
Mm.
And some of them speak both the indigenous and Spanish language as savers, too.
Well, it's quite a program. Jenny, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Jenny Bernhardt is Development Communications Manager for the World Council of Credit Unions. More information about their programs, go to matchsavings.org. That's matchsavings.org. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour, Chrissy Pease for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee, and thanks to you for your calls, your expressions of interest. Tomorrow, 9 to 10, Jonathan Alter will be with us in our studios in Milwaukee. We'll talk about the current political scene and the current president and more, so be with us. Great conversations ahead.